Could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Chris Corner from IMX.
IMX, that's completely new, isn't it?
It is, yes. I'm not completely new, but yeah. IMX is new, yes.
You're the singer of Sneaker Pimps. Could you give a short history of yourself?
Well, I started as a young boy in the band Sneaker Pimps.
In the 80s?
In the 90s,
oh,
actually.
90s, okay.
Yeah, I'm not that old.
All right.
Let's put that straight.
Yeah.
And we did a first album called Becoming X with a female singer, which was quite successful. Then we got rid of the female singer. Then I started singing for the next two albums, which are Splinter and Bloodsport.
Was it the first time you were started singing then?
No, I'd done it before, but it's the first time I had the confidence to do it, yes.
Right, yeah.
The confidence to do it on record.
You reached the age to sing.
I did, yes, yeah.
I think that has something to do with age sometimes.
It is. I mean, we'd been around the world a few times by that point, but I still wasn't really a man.
Mm. Well, now you are.
And now I've just about grown up, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And 1996, Becoming X came out.
Yeah.
And what happened after that? It was like a huge hit, isn't it?
It was, yeah. We did a lot of touring. A lot of kids stuff, and decided to try and harness the music industry for our own benefit because we didn't feel really a part of it. Mm. I think that was why we got rid of the singer in the first place, because the industry is quite a strange thing to be in.
It's quite hard, also.
It's hard. It's psychologically quite difficult as well. So I think our way of dealing with that was to alienate the industry and try and get out of it, basically. So we committed commercial suicide, and then we kind of built ourselves up in a more, what's the word? In a slower, kind of more natural fashion, I think. Mm. With the record two and record three.
Yeah. With the thing you really wanted to do.
Yeah.
But it worked out well, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. It's worked out. It's given me the opportunity to do what I want to do without being famous, basically.
Okay.
And the idea of fame is something that I've never liked.
Like recognized on the street.
Yeah. That's
right.
I hate the idea of that.
Okay. Why is that?
Because I'm too nice, and I wouldn't know how to deal with people. I think that's the problem. I can't just tell people to fuck off. So
I'd
be harassed, and I'd be just talking to everybody
all the time.
Yeah, I couldn't say no.
Yeah. So that's more of a sort of personal thing of you then.
Yeah. I've had a bit of it.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
But after 7-8 years of Sneaker Pimps, finally you have a new sort of solo record coming out. It's called Kiss and Swallow.
Mm.
I really like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's really, it reminds me of old 80s sound.
Mm.
Bands like, if I may compare it, it's like Depeche Mode style, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is. I mean, I was growing up and being very influenced by bands at that time, so it's bound to come out. But it's something that I've never really been able to express completely with Sneaker Pimps, so it was my opportunity to do it by myself.
Yeah. How did you start writing or thinking about this project then?
Well, I started writing for the next Sneaker Pimps album, so I had quite a lot of songs ready for that. But again, in true Sneaker Pimps fashion, we decided to deconstruct our direction again, and I had a break from recording and performing, so I had these songs and this time on my hands, so I put it together and this is where it ended up.
Wow, great.
Mm.
It's like 14-16 songs almost on the record.
Yeah, there's lots of material, and there's still lots more. I don't know, it's stuff that was bursting to get out.
Yeah.
You stick it in me.
Is that the single, like that then? One.
No, it's not. No.
But it's one of my favourites already.
So. That's good. Yeah. I think that's one of my favourites, actually.
Right.
You're the first person to like that. Well, not like it, but, you know, to see that as a single.
Okay, yeah. How did you come up with that song, for instance, then?
It came from the idea of voodoo, actually. Mm. It's not a sexual reference, it's actually pins and needles.
More like revenge style?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. With a slightly sexual overtone, but I wanted to do a song with the woman kind of singing in quite a low voice and me singing in a really high voice, yeah. So there was a slight ambiguity to, you know, the sex, and it was kind of androgynous but again quite hateful, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Isn't it the lyric wise on the new record? Isn't it like a more personal style of you?
Yeah,
because you can finally say everything you really want, because it's your own album.
It is, yeah. Everything I really want is not really the term. It's more being free to explore. I think that's the main thing, and not compromise, because, you know, in a group of people you compromise a lot, and you also you know, you can also come up with stuff you'd never come up with yourself. But it's quite nice to just be completely free and feel my way emotionally through the project,
yeah,
and explore my own mind, which is quite a scary place to be at the moment.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, but how did you start then? Because you were on your own, and you have to make all these songs on your own, and then making the music on your own. I think so. Did you have any help?
No. The only there was a few backing vocals, there's a couple of lyrics here and there, a few phrases, and I collaborated on maybe one or two tunes, but generally most of it was just me. I think that's I'm slightly obsessive and a bit of a control freak.
All right.
So it wasn't hard for me to do it. I think the hardest thing was accepting the project when it was done. Yeah. I kind of finished it, completed it, I got through it, and then deciding whether it was worth doing anything with, that was the hardest part, I think.
Isn't it hard to really finish a song? Like, okay, it's finished, it is.
That was a learning process for me, because in the past we've always had somebody else at the end of it to kind of finish it off. Well, we produced, but co-produced, you know, and there's always been somebody else that would say, okay, this is shit, that's good, do this, do that. But no, I had to do everything, and that's quite hard. I think I'm learning to do it, and it's quite a constructive thing to do.
Could you do it again?
Yeah, I want to do it again. I really want to do it. I'm starting on the next album now, but
Jesus, the first one has to come out.
I know, it's not even out yet. But I did it, you know, maybe sort of 4 or 5 months ago. So I've been setting up all these different territories, deals, independent deals.
Mm.
So each of them have different release dates. And
all right, okay. Okay. How were the first reactions on this one then?
Surprisingly good, yeah. I didn't really expect as many people to pick up on it.
Mm.
Because it was a record done in a small dark room by myself with no kind of perspective on the world.
Okay.
You tend to be quite... I don't really expect anything from it, but it's been good, I think. It's been positive.
Okay, cool. Where did you record in your own house then?
Yeah, yeah.
Just in a one room you didn't get out?
Dirty room, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that? Is that the best way for you then?
With this, it was. With this, the previous record with the Snake Pimps, Bloodsport, we recorded in France, you know, in the sun, and doesn't sound like that, but in France, in the sun, outside, in the fields. But I really wanted to... Well, no, I had no choice.
Yeah.
I had to do it in my bedroom, and that worked, I think, for me.
You played all the instruments yourself then?
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, okay. I guess so.
Okay, but what's your... Could you name some titles and some stories of that? Is there a sort of theme in it?
I guess there is a theme of romance, death, sex, the usual stuff, really. But it's a very specific. It kind of reflects the way that I made it, and there was a time where, you know, I was going out and getting fucked up and ending up in situations with loved ones and people I didn't know and just quite a messy time.
All right.
And a lot of that came out on the record. So it's quite anxious, and quite claustrophobic, I think.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I was at that time.
Is it better now than in that situation, if I may ask?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, I hope so.
But it is.
Do you think you have to go through such a thing? Such a
no, I don't believe that. I had this I had this question recently. You're the second person to ask it, and I believe that if an artist is good, then he's good. He doesn't have to get fucked up to you know, have something to write about.
Yeah.
You know, everybody says, okay, well,
it just happened.
Yeah. Bands have to take drugs to do this. They have to go through shit to do it.
Because that's a part of being a rock star.
Yeah, well, it might be part of being a rock star. It doesn't mean it's part of making good music. And
right.
I think you have to be good in the first place. Sometimes, you know, it can. If you're lucky and everything comes together at the right time, it can help. But I wouldn't say that you know, I would have done this without it, if I wasn't in that headspace anyway.
Okay.
I would have done something. It might not have been as good, but I don't know. That's negating everything I've said.
Yeah. But was it all? Did it all happen in London then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was traveling quite a bit as well, so it was kind of a come down from traveling and then ending up in London, which I find quite a tense place. It makes me quite anxious.
Mm.
I live there, but I don't particularly want to live there at the moment. So I think this is me escaping that as well.
Yeah. Okay. What's the vibe then in London, in music-wise then?
Music-wise, it's always quite healthy, I guess, because there's just a lot of competition and lots of people are in bands and lots of people are doing art and.
They're looking at you like, I'm better than you.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Competitive.
Yeah. But I've never really responded... I've never really been a part of that kind of UK scene.
Yeah. Is it then difficult to talk to other musicians or artists?
Well, it's... the people that... I mean, my friends are all musicians and all artists, but I've come to kind of... have relationships with them naturally without I haven't sort of it's just happened it hasn't been kind of constructed through some kind of music ties or anything it's more about just them being friends.
Yeah.
And now that we're finally starting to work together and do things together, so I kind of got to know them as people before I'd do anything musically with anyone really.
Okay, cool. Hey, IMX, where does the name come from? Because we think it's from becoming X, and now you are.
That's part of it. Yeah, part of it is the reference to becoming X, and actually achieving this goal, I guess, which was we were obsessed with X as this symbol of I don't know, art, life, whatever. Just this.
Give it a name.
Abstract, yeah, anything. But whatever is the most meaningful to you at that time, and IMX was me growing up, I guess. And becoming a solo artist is quite it's a huge learning curve, and it does make you into a man.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you have to tour like 18 months to the US.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah.
That's hell, isn't it?
I don't know if that's going to happen again, I'm not going to allow that to happen.
What happened?
Oh, that was the first the Sneaker Pimps first album was just intensive touring. That was part of the reason why we kind of self-destructed as well.
Like, as a band?
Yeah. Because we weren't really built for it. Not that intensively, you know.
What happened then?
We just...
Played shitty places and stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, they got better and better and better, but even when, you know, things were really good, or you would think they were really good... It's quite a cliche, really, but you know, they weren't particularly good. Psychologically, we weren't very. We were pretty weak, and I don't think we handled the pressure of it very well.
Yeah, okay. So you did a tour for like 18 months then?
Yeah, that was in the...
You survived?
Yeah, just about. Just about, yeah.
Okay, cool. So this new album, IMX, will be released on the Splinter label? Because you have no label, isn't it?
We still have, but I'm not going to release it in the UK for a while, I think. Because I've got so many other different things happening.
Involvement with contracts or something?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Really, because I'm still tied to the Sneaker Pimps. And we're still tied to a major deal, well, major publishing deal, and they have kind of power over what we do and what we say a little bit with that project. So I don't really want to fuck things up for that.
Okay.
So at the moment I'm concentrating on other areas and just having fun and getting out to places like Amsterdam.
Okay, you're playing tonight here, right?
I am, yes.
Where exactly? And what are you going to do?
Playing in the Paradiso. I'm going to have sex with everybody in the crowd and then send them home with ears bleeding.
All right.
I don't know. It's always quite unpredictable, the live show, which is quite nice because I've put lots of strange people together. Well, three strange people together. Mm-hmm. And that changes from show to show depending on who can do the shows.
All right. So what can we expect from tonight then?
I don't know.
Are there three strange people here?
Yes, they're asleep. Oh. That's why.
Preparing,
yeah, getting the energy up. they're quite unpredictable, so it will be messy, I think.
Right. Like literally.
Probably.
Fuck.
It usually is. Yeah. But then again, you never know. It might not be. It might be quite sober.
Okay. Cool. Hey, aren't there any guest appearances on your record? Because I read something.
There are two other people that perform on the record. There's a violinist named Audrey Morse, who's a very interesting character. She's manic depressive and she's quite ill, but she's a brilliant violinist and composer. She arranged some strings for one of the tracks called Your Joy Is My Love. And another performer was Sue Denham from a band called Robots in Disguise, which I produce as well. Mm-hmm. She did some vocals for me. Yes.
Cool. Okay. Thank you. And which song was that?
It was on You Stick It In Me, and a song called White Suburb Impressionism, which is the last song.
Could you give a short of story about that song then? Because the title sounds rather strange.
White Suburb Impressionism. It's kind of about the stigma of being middle class in UK.
And the stigma.
This stigma, I guess. Yeah. Not that I'm middle class, but a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And I guess I've become middle class. My parents were very working class, but through being reasonably successful and getting away from your roots, you become this thing, and then you question this thing, and then it opens up a whole kind of series of doubts and anxieties about the world. So I guess it's about that.
Cool. I'm going to check the album more out then.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of shit that I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about. So, you know, maybe when you can come back with some answers for me sometime.
Okay, next time then.
Just tell the fans to write in and tell me what the fucking record's about.
Are you really into internet, like reacting and contacting with people?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I think it's a really powerful tool to... I mean, in the way that...
If you have a forum on your Sneaker Pimp site.
Yeah, I don't really get involved with that, but I think it's nice that people talk to each other. What I like about doing the live thing, which is a similar thing to interacting with people on the internet, is just that kind of intimacy and exchange of emotion, and the reality of that is, I don't know, there's something nice about that.
Yeah. Is it going to be an on-site for you then, IMX?
The
IMX site, is it, will be up soon?
It is up. It's just been put up last week.
Really?
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it.
Really?
Yeah.
IMX.co.uk. Oh.
No.
It is up.
There was only sneakerpimps/IMX.html.
Try
I will try.
Try it again. Yeah. Try it again, because it's definitely up.
Okay. We're standing like it's coming up soon, so it should be changed then.
It's just changed, so you might have just missed it.
Okay.
And
I like the artwork, though.
Yeah, yeah, it's all that. It's all that stuff, basically. Yeah. There's a guy I've got to do it who he lives in Tokyo. He kind of he's quite a creative, artistic guy. He's working on that, so he's building it up. So he's initially put it up, and then he's going to add to it all the time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.